The gospel reading today comes from John chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. Listen for the word of the Lord. The next day, John, that is John the Baptist, the next day John again was standing with two of his disciples. As he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated is anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter, a rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In his very first book, Martin Luther King wrote, "The church must never tire of reminding men that they have a moral responsibility to be intelligent." I think that's true. If we have a moral responsibility to be intelligent, one of the things we need to do is take a look again at the Gospel of John. Because the Gospel of John tends to be the most misunderstood of the Gospels. It's written, or it's read at this surface level, kind of flat and static. People cut and paste from this gospel a lot. They'll take one little phrase, "Jesus is the way. And after they've cut and pasted, they think they don't need to read anymore. But an intelligent, disciplined way of reading the gospel leads us to the sense that a whole new world can open up if we look again at this Gospel of John. John begins with a poem. It's a poem you've heard before. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being that came into being. And what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people." It's a poem. If you look, you see that it's filled with double meanings. You look at the word, and first it means one thing, but then it needs a whole other thing. You end up wondering. And that's where the Gospel of John is helpful, to have us stop and wonder, what was it that I heard? I heard it on this surface level, but is there more? I think double meanings are things that go together with a sense of joy and humor. And I think maybe we can loosen up a little bit if you would allow me just a moment to go over my top 10 list of questions. These are some of my favorite questions. Question number 10, if you write a book about failure and it does not sell, is it a success? If one synchronized swimmer goes over a waterfall, what happens to the others? If Disneyland is operated by a giant mouse, does that make it a people trap? If electricity comes from electrons, where does morality come from? If your knife, fork, and spoon are made out of gold, are they still silverware? What do pyromaniacs wear? Blazers? Why does the sun lighten our hair but darken our skin? Why do we sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" when we're already there? When a cow laughs, does milk come out its nose? Is it true that cannibals don't eat clowns because they taste funny? Thank you. Thank you for putting up with that. Part of what I want to say is, you know, the Gospel of John is more playful than we tend to read it. There is a sense of a dynamic tension that's going on there as you go back and forth and hear the things that are said. Let yourself play with the Gospel of John and be delighted in what it has to say. The first words out of the mouth of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the very first words are a question. He says to these two disciples of John the Baptist who are following him, "What are you looking for?" Now you hear that on a surface level, but that's one of those questions that is a lifelong question that if we play with it, can really help guide us. What is it that you're looking for? Jesus asks more questions in the Gospel of John than any other book in the Bible. And I like that quote from T.S. Eliot in Choruses from the Rock, the quote that says, "O my soul, be prepared for the coming of the stranger. Be prepared for him who knows how to ask questions." Jesus asks these marvelous questions that have a deeper meaning if we stop and look at them again. It has a tension in it, a bit of resistance. You see that in Nathanael. Nathanael starts out, he's a skeptic, a doubter. He resists what Jesus is saying. He asks hard questions. And isn't it fascinating that it's the person who asks the hard questions that Jesus reveals himself to most? The one who expressed skepticism and doubt is the one who comes to proclaim most powerfully who Jesus is. Nathanael, the doubter, the questioner, is lifted up as a model of faithfulness to ask the hard questions, to not take things on easily, is part of discipleship, isn't it? Jesus praises Nathanael because he accepts Philip's invitation, even though he had questions. Jesus says in the passage, "Amen, amen." And usually when we hear the words "amen," we think, okay, the end, the conclusion, the finish, the story's over. But in the Gospel of John, when Jesus says amen, it's just the opposite, because that's precisely where Jesus is opening up a new idea, a new thought, a new way of seeing. Overall, the Gospel of John begins by directing us to the question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? We know being a disciple means discipline, following the leader, but you have to ask, who is the leader? And what is this leader all about? So, okay, we look at the Gospel of John, and we have to ask the question, who is Jesus? And we look for the answer. But we come to chapter 1, and who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word, the life, the light, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of Joseph, the Rabbi, the Teacher, the King of Israel. So we ask, okay, who is he? Which one? But the answer is all of them. Which one matters the most? Well, then we come back to the question, which one matters the most? What are you looking for? We all tend to have our categories, the way that we think the world works. We have our questions and our answers. But in this passage, what we come to see is maybe we have reduced Jesus down to the point where we think he doesn't matter. And what the Gospel of John does is open up our imagination and say there are all these different dimensions and directions that answer for us the needs that we have. What if Jesus is more than we had expected? What if Jesus is about this presence of God that is still with us, dynamic, and who may just see us sitting under the fig tree, see us relaxing, and know who we are, and know what we need? What if Jesus is here and opens us to the dynamic presence of God? What are you looking for? The question has multiple meanings. There is a surface level, but there is that spiritual level. What are you looking for in your life? This is an invitation to follow Jesus and to discover the dynamic presence of God. To be a disciple is about being open to the possibilities and the different ways that God is speaking to us. To follow Jesus is to walk a road, but a piece of pavement, but spiritually to follow Jesus is to open up our life to see the difference that God makes when God is present. The disciples say, Rabbi, where are you staying? The Greek word is meno. It means, where are you dwelling? But what if Jesus isn't staying anywhere? What if he's moving? What if he's on the road? What if it is the disciples? This question turns back on the disciples. Where are they staying? Where are they stuck? And if they're stuck someplace, what this story does is to say, and what if you follow Jesus and all of a sudden he gets you out of your stuckness and life all of a sudden has possibilities again? Where are you stuck on an endless loop on that pinwheel of death, that circle that just keeps going around in the computer of your head? And do you hear Jesus saying to you, come and see, move, follow, discover life anew? On that spiritual level, we have this encounter possibility where Jesus will come to help us see the world anew, and where Jesus will come to help us see ourselves anew. You see it with the people that he encounters there. Peter didn't know who he was until Jesus reveals this new dimension of his being. Philip doesn't know his possibilities. He was just a bystander. But then he, soon after encountering Jesus, becomes this witness. What are you looking for? For some of us, I think some of us are really very comfortable with the traditional language about Jesus being the Son of God. And other people are uncomfortable with that. That language of Jesus being the Son of Man is where they're at. But this is a passage that bridges them and say, Jesus is both. Are you open to seeing the possibilities, all the possibilities of Jesus bringing heaven onto earth? Each of the disciples, as you hear what they say in response to Jesus, says something different. There's all these different terms about who Jesus is, the light, the life, the teacher, the rabbi, the Messiah. And each one of the disciples has some sort of different need. And what they discover is that there is something about this Jesus who is more multidimensional, more alive than they had ever expected. And it's there in that mix of him answering the questions, the needs that they had in their life, that they discover and experience what it is to encounter the living God, the one who meets you on the journey, on the road, in your rest, in your cynicism. He has seen you before you see him, and he knows what you need. As we open ourselves to discipleship, reflecting on our discipleship, this chapter is an invitation to us to think again about how we may have closed ourselves off, how the problems of our lives may have gotten us in some sort of endless loop, and how Jesus encounters us in the midst of where we are and opens for us possibilities of what will be. He keeps on talking about the kingdom of God because he makes the kingdom of God present to us here and now. What was it Eliot said? Beware the stranger, beware the one who asks questions. Jesus is the questioner asking us, where are you going? Where are you going in your life? And are you open to the possibilities of God taking you someplace new? Where you're going, are you ready to follow Jesus now? It's a question, and only you can answer. Amen.